Hooray! It's pretty exciting, isn't it? I've been listening to your sermons, little fragments of the prayers and stuff have been coming through the sermons over the last, I don't know, what was it been, 3 months or so, as you've been praying for this exciting pastor to come and do wonderful things in your midst. All these expectations as I come, you've prepared a beautiful house for me and my family, you've put up a lovely pergola and freshened up the walls and done the carpet, you've cooked meals. Wow, we feel so very blessed. Your expectations on us, expectations to fill the role of a pastor, expectations by giving me an office over in your beautiful Concordia house with the beautiful 60s decor, thank you. I'm looking forward to maybe changing the lacy curtain hangings there. Jury put them up for me, thanks jury. Your expectations that the car park will be full because you've reserved a park for your pastor there over the other side, haven't you? What a beautiful expectation. I don't know how senior I feel though. It says senior pastor. I feel like a young middle-aged pastor, so maybe we need to change that sign. Expectations for your pastor. Whew, it's such a privilege to be that guy that all your expectations are on. It's a little bit overwhelming though. I couldn't sleep last night, could I? No. I'm a stressor. I love expectations, but man, they keep me up at night. I'm very honoured. I can't tell you how much I'm honoured. And one of the greatest honours is what I'm doing today, bringing God's word to you. What a privilege it is to be your pastor who's going to have the joy of bringing God's word to you. One of my many jobs, and I don't know what your expectations are on me in this preaching role. I don't know what you've experienced in the past, but here I am in all my glory and humility as your preacher now. Preaching's one of the great joys of a pastor because we get to unpack God's word which is so rich and deep and sometimes confusing, and sometimes we can gloss over how deep and rich it is and what it means for our lives. And how good is it when you get a great preacher who just opens it up for you, and he makes it burn in your hearts when what he says changes your life so that you go out and your life's a different thing after you've heard good preaching. Hopefully you've heard good preaching in your life. Oh, no. No, expectations, don't set them too high. Well, today I had the joy of picking my own text because you're going to hear some other readings in the afternoon. I didn't want to double up with the things that Bishop Mike was going to preach on just in case I showed him up. But so instead, I picked a text about Jesus preaching. Jesus goes out, you know, this is in the early chapters of Luke. You know, he's been baptized by John. He's gone out into the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's been tempted and tested by the Satan. And then he comes back and he starts going around that area of Galilee where he grew up, and he starts preaching and teaching, and he gets a reputation as a good preacher, as you would expect the Son of God to have. He'd be an awesome preacher. And so today I picked that Bible text for you to bring to light a few points about your pastor, but mostly about your Lord Jesus Christ. So, where do I need to go with this? Right. Jesus is handed a scroll, the book of Isaiah. Back in his day, we didn't have a lovely book. They were given rolls, scrolls that they'd open up, roll out, and they'd read from it. They were treated very preciously. The book of Isaiah is one of the major prophets. It's a rather big scroll. If you've ever been into a synagogue, it's huge. It's probably not read from all that much in the synagogue life, but here's Jesus, and he picks out a text, and he reads it out to the people. And Jesus cheekily says to the people, what does he say? Today in your hearing, oh, I've lost my part, this is fulfilled. That's his sermon. A one-liner. How good preaching is that? Maybe some days you'd appreciate a short sermon like that. It's not going to happen today, sorry. I've already gone on a bit longer. But Jesus brings the good news to those people. People who are expecting a Messiah to come. You know, in all the days of Israel's wandering around and being God's people, all these prophets were pointing towards a great leader, a Messiah, that anointed one. You know, the kings of old in Israel were anointed by a prophet by the outpouring of oil on their head so that the people would know this is God's chosen one. But the prophets kept pointing towards a great leader, the Messiah that would come and be their great leader. So the Israelites had built up this expectation about the Messiah. By Jesus' time, their expectations were pretty big, I'd have to say. The nation of Israel was under the lordship of those Romans, so the Israel people were looking for the Messiah to come and free them from that lordship of that foreign nation in their lands. They were looking for a great leader who would probably be a political leader that would rally the people together to stand up and be a great nation. The people were looking for the Messiah to do great things and make them a great nation. And so here's Jesus, the carpenter's son, in his hometown in Nazareth, reading one of these prophecies about what the Messiah would be like. And it totally doesn't match up to the expectations of the people. The expectations of the Messiah were high, but here Jesus, in his reading from Scripture, points them back to where the heart of the Messiah is going to be. So the expectations of the Messiah. What about your expectations for your humble and lowly pastor? I wonder what you've been dreaming up in these years of vacancy. What kind of high and lofty things are you wishing that your pastor would bring to this community? What's he going to accomplish? What's he going to be able to do? What are the marks of a pastor that you expect him to be? You know, even for me, your sleepless pastor last night, my expectations are high. My dreams and visions for what I can do for you are probably a bit too lofty. Today, I think we need to listen to Jesus, listen to his explaining to that community long ago what we can expect in a Savior, and flowing down to your humble pastor what you can also expect from me. Jesus reminded his hearers on that day that the Messiah would be like this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is not the picture of a big military leader or a political leader thrusting the Israelites into the future in a glorious way. This is all a little bit under the high expectations of the people of his time. And for me, your humble pastor, some of you have been very beautiful in sharing your expectations with me, and they have been lovely. I can tell you, your hopes and dreams for this congregation, maybe you're hoping for the Messiah in your pastor. I can't walk on water, and I've never turned water into wine, unfortunately. I will keep working on that one, but your pastor, wouldn't it be nice, though, if he was the Messiah? But alas, it's not the case. But what you can expect from me is that I will continue to point you to your Messiah, the one that you need, the Savior of our lives, the one who will bring us into eternal life. Jesus is the one that can set us free. He's the one who will give us sight. He will give us hope in the face of our oppression in our lives. My job as your pastor is the guy who gets to keep pointing you to Christ. So on this exciting day, as you think about installing me, you've still got a last chance to kick me out. Maybe we should not reflect about what you think you expect in a pastor, but what do you expect from Jesus, your Savior? Jesus came into this world with a mission, didn't he? With clear sights on what he had to do. And today in our reading, we hear the heart of that mission. It's not to be mighty and powerful and glorious, but it's actually to walk beside those who are on the fringes, those who had little hope in this world, even those that were beyond hope. Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And I guess that's Jesus's way of not proclaiming this is the year that it's all going to happen. It's Jesus's way of proclaiming an era of salvation in his name. Jesus has come to bring salvation to the poor, to the prisoners, to the blind, and to the oppressed. And isn't this wonderful good news, isn't it? Yeah, it is to those who need to be saved. But it's not good news to those who want something powerful or glorious or want to rule with might. Jesus' message makes absolutely no sense to them. The good news only makes sense to those that know they're in need of a Savior. If you're not poor, if you're not in prison, if you're not blind, if you're not oppressed, then Jesus' message of hope and salvation is not really going to mean much to you. But when we sit down and think about our lives, when we think about the sin that's a part of us, that continues to oppress our lives, when we realize, in fact, how self-centered we can be, our self-centeredness makes us blind to the way that God wants us to live, when we realize actually how spiritually poor we are without God's Spirit working in our lives, this is when the good news of Jesus Christ makes most sense to us. If your expectations of Jesus is to bring his power and dominion and authority into this place, well, yes, he will, but probably not the way of the world and the way that the world works. He does it in different ways, doesn't he? He does it through the glorification of those who are without hope. That's my story, and as I get to know you, it's probably your story too, that Jesus has raised you up out of your sin, out of the oppression of Satan in your lives, out of your blindness, out of your poverty, to raise you up as a son and daughter of the Lord. This is the expectation that we should have in Jesus, that he will continue to pour out his love, his forgiveness, his good news on us. He will continue to pour out his Holy Spirit on us to fill us up. He's going to keep pouring out his good news and tell us that he has freed us from that prison of sin. This is our expectation. This is what we can look forward to here, now, and forevermore. And that's my role as your pastor. If that's your expectation in Jesus, then I'm going to have a good time with you guys, because that's all I can do for you is point to that Jesus. I pray that I can fill those shoes, that we can humbly walk with the Lord together, that we can keep falling down in front of that cross and asking for the forgiveness that we need. And I pray that God can strengthen us to be his community of the hopeless, that he lifts up and glorifies. Today, it's my privilege to commit myself to you for in richer and poorer, for, you know, all that. Oh, hang on. That was a different commitment I made. Today, I will commit to you to bring you Jesus Christ in all that I do. And I pray when I fail in doing that, you can correct me in your brotherly and sisterly love in Christ, that we can continue to glorify God in all that we do. It's an exciting time, isn't it? I pray that your expectations in this exciting time continue to point you to Jesus Christ. And I am so honored to be the guy that you've called into this privileged position to walk that road with you. So praise be to God, hey? All right, I'm going to finish off with a prayer. Let's pray. Messiah Jesus, I thank you today that you have fulfilled the scriptures and have come to proclaim the good news to us who are in need of it. Lord, bless this church. Pour your spirit out on us. Fill us up who are poor and blind and oppressed. Free us from prison so that we can be your saints in this world. Lord, bless Concordia and all we do. Point us to you in all that we say and act and how we witness in this world. May it bring great glory to your name. Lord, and I pray for myself humbly that you would bring your good news alive through me so that together as a church we can walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. All right, Steve, we're going to worship a bit more. Whew, my